It's raining outside today.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I noticed you like looked at my screen to see if you could look out my window, which I do not have, at least behind me, where you could see.
Is it a gentle rain?
It is. It's it's pleasant. I mean, I wish I was grilling or, you know, like I marinated some chicken and I'm like really excited to grill it and now it's raining. So I'm like, great, I have to oven bake this like a like a dork.
Did you guys have
said,
no, go
it's
ahead.
Almost no. I was like, I have you mowed yet?
No,
I haven't either, but you know what? I think it's happening this weekend.
Everything is dead. There's nothing to mow.
Oh my gosh, it is so green here.
Really?
It's all the first couple of mows are, you know, like they're just, it never looks good. Like it's all that crappy stuff that's been growing, you know, like it's not impressive, but I'm so pumped for mowing season. Oh my goodness. I can't wait to mow and tend to my grass and water and garden. I'm ready to be 70.
See, we haven't had any rain, so like everything's dead here.
No, that's definitely sad.
So I need a water or a lawn or something to get it going.
yeah, sometimes you need a little water to get it going. It's like splash it on there. You're good to go.
It's the SMIC Super Show. And now, new look, same minty taste, Cole Roberts and Mike Anderson.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the SMIC Super Show. I'm one of your co-hosts, Cole Roberts.
I'm your other co-host, Mike Anderson.
And it is strange to be back with you guys.
It is.
Obviously, just because I mess up the name of the show, but I feel like I do that often anyway. Like, I really don't know. I just sign on and we start talking and hit record, and I don't really know what we're doing.
we've essentially had three titles for the same show, so it makes sense.
It's okay. It's our show. We can do whatever we want to do.
Right. If anybody's even listening, then.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know people were, I know people were listening before, but we have been gone for a while, so I can understand if it's going to be crickets for a while. We deserve that, and I'm sorry, we left you guys hanging.
It's only been a month, and barely a month.
But see, okay, here's the thing. You say that, but I feel like this has been the longest year of my life. Like, I feel like so much time has passed, you know, for personal reasons, obviously, but, like, at the same time, I'm like, Why is January as long as it is? Is that necessary?
Mm-hmm.
I really don't believe it is.
We had an extra day this year because of the leap year. So,
and February is a dumb month anyway. I mean, it's just, I don't know. So much has happened, man. We did not get to do our Super Bowl episode.
Yeah,
which bums me out because that is apparently always our, you know, big time banger of an episode. Like that gets a lot of attention for some weird reason.
It's because I think I put Super Bowl as the tag in the podcast and people come to the episode thinking, oh, well, here's some fellas going to talk about sports and
we're going to get to
start talking about nonsense.
It's like, well, I was thinking about making some little smokies. What were you thinking about making?
Yeah, like these guys are idiots.
Oh my gosh. Well,
and
I do
it's like
I
a train wreck. You can't stop listening.
But it's a good one. It's like a good train wreck. I did, I don't know. So just to preface this episode, this is really Mike and I just getting back in the saddle. If you were expecting anything great or anything awesome, stop listening right now because I'm gonna tell you it's not gonna happen. This is not the episode. This is not the one you've been waiting for. This is not the episode that's going to garner the amount of time that we took off and justify being absent. This is literally putting some water on it, splash a little water on that thing, get going again, you know what I'm saying? So we're trying to get this to grow again using organics. Organic measures. Going to get the length back onto this podcast that we've been needing. And I, for one, am looking forward to it.
Right.
What, is anything I'm saying actually that funny?
I'm trying to find a place to cut in, but it's just, it's,
yeah, it's probably happening. All the Hims ads I keep getting when I scroll onto it. Yeah, like every time I get on to Instagram, it's like pills, lots of pills for, you know, for the growth and the wake up call, I guess. I don't know what it is. Right. Am I struggling? I don't know. Struggling a lot of other areas are way more important. Is
woo! Why am I sweating all of this?
So glad my wife has never listened to our show. It's awesome. But yeah, back to the episode. This is not the one you've been waiting for. However, we're gonna dip our toes into the water, get back into it. So I do want to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl because it happened, and I love football. I love it so mm-hmm. much. And I'm not really ready to let it go, even though I have let it go. I've had no choice. It's right. Currently not on. But
like Elsa, you had to let it go.
I had to let it go. I had to let that thing get frozen. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. What am I saying?
I don't know.
But did you partake? Did you watch the game?
We did, actually. We were just kind of like casually watching it. And then like right before it started, Heather's sister asked, she was like, are you guys watching it? We're like, kinda. And she's like, can I come watch it? Because I think all of her,
you're like, no.
We almost did say that. No, but no, you can't. Her coming over kind of made it more of like an event, I guess. So,
oh yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
Well, I mean, we didn't do anything other than order some I think, yeah, we just ordered pizza.
Oh man, and that's a good choice.
Yeah, we just had some Pizza Hut and I think we had pizza. I don't remember. Sometimes we do Empire Slice, which is like this little, I hesitate to say a mom and pop because they're not that small. They have two locations in Oklahoma, but they make the biggest pizzas I have ever seen in my entire life. They're like those Talk gigantic.
Nice is it New York style? Is that the shtick?
So I don't know. They're just big. So I don't necessarily like New York style because my only experience with it is from Pizza Hut. I don't like Pizza Hut.
We have listeners in New York and they're probably hurting a bit.
They're like, that's real pizza.
That's real pizza. That's where it came from.
That Little Caesars you get is nothing.
New York, Italy.
No, but it's so big that like I can normally eat most of a Little Caesars pizza, if not all of it. I'm hurting by the end of it if I eat all of it. But on these Empire Slice ones, I can only eat two pieces.
Wow.
Because they're so big.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. I strive to be just a two slice guy. Mm-hmm. That's what I would like to be. But, you know, my mind says you eat all the pizza. Eat as much as humanly possible.
It tastes so good. Like Little Caesars just tastes so good that I want to keep enjoying the taste, even though my body is saying this is too much food. There's no more room.
It happens.
We did that. And we watched the whole game. I was mostly watching it because I really wanted to see the new Deadpool trailer. And I didn't realize that they showed it like right off the bat and we missed it. So I was watching the entire game waiting for the trailer. Oh, and when it never showed, I was like, did I miss it? I went to the bathroom for like 3 minutes at one point. And I was like, did it happen to play in that 3 minutes? And nobody said they saw it. And then I found out that they played it like right at the beginning.
So oh, shoot.
We came in too late.
Man, they started out with a bang.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the game? Was there anyone you were rooting for, or what do you think of the halftime show? Anything like that?
I really didn't care. Yeah. I don't think I can't. It's been so long now. I don't really remember what I was feeling during it. I know that Heather and her sister, they really enjoyed the halftime show. Like they really got into it. They were like dancing on the couch and. I was impressed by it. I do not care for Usher. I've never been a fan. I don't have anything against him. I just don't care for him. And so like it was not anything that was enticing me at any point. But I could still appreciate the pageantry of the show.
Yeah.
And the finale was pretty cool when they had those two guests come in at the end, because they just kind of seemed to appear out of nowhere, and I thought that was really great.
Yeah.
But other than that, I thought it was, I don't know, it wasn't as spectacular as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Still wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to show Taylor Swift a lot more than they did.
She did make a lot of screen time, which, you know, let's talk about that for a little bit. How? Yeah. Okay. Here, for those who have been living under a rock, right? So Taylor Swift has been dating Travis Kelce, who is the tight end of the Chiefs. And he's a very accomplished athlete. He's amazing. Despite my feelings towards the team in general. If you're like me, you are suffering from Chiefs fatigue. that's a real thing. but with that said, they've been dating. She's been going to the games, and she's been, she'll get on TV every once in a while. And it's usually when Travis does something excellent, or, you know, maybe not so excellent, and they want to get her reaction. And it seems like there are a group of people who are not enjoying that, but, you know, it's like, okay. She's not ruining anything, you know, and also it's not any different than when you watch a Lakers game and you have to see Jack Nicholson's face every, you know, 15 minutes. It's like this, what people don't understand is like celebrity spottings and celebrity outings have been a thing in professional sports for a very long time. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't bother me. I don't know why other people get bothered about it. But I also want to say, too, some of y'all talking about it all the time make it seem like the whole world has a problem with it. And they don't. You're in an echo chamber. I hate to break it to you, but not everyone in the world's pissed about seeing Taylor Swift on TV. And the amount of content that countered the what you would have thought was the entire world complaining that came up the day after was astounding. I'm like, A, didn't know this many people felt that way about it, but didn't know this many people felt the other way about it.
Yeah.
Let's, hey, why not we just talk about anything? Anything else? Like, the game, maybe? like, that was the point. I mean, to me, I'm like, that's, you know, obviously the Super Bowl is the exception. Not everyone tunes in for the game itself. It's the commercials. It's the pageantry. It's maybe it's Taylor Swift. Maybe it's a halftime show. Whatever it is. You know, but I was really shocked the next day. I'm like, I didn't know this many people were A, upset, and I didn't know that B, this many people were trying to counter everyone being upset as if it is everyone that is upset about it. Like, I just didn't even think about it. Not once did I even think about, oh, I can't believe she's on TV right now. Like, of course I can believe she's on TV. Are you kidding me? She's at a football, like, was Taylor Swift at a football game last year? No. Was she ever at a football game before that? No. So of course she's going to be on TV.
Well, especially with how, like, I don't want to say poorly the NFL has been doing ratings-wise, but I think that might be kind of accurate. I think they were doing everything that they could to entice people to watch the Super Bowl.
It is in everyone's best interest if Taylor Swift is at the game.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, and you know, it's funny, and I saw kind of the same sentiments being passed around, and I agree with it, you know, like, you know, the basically the scenario of like, oh, you know, the dad watches football all the time, but now he's watching it with his daughter because the daughter's there supporting, you know, they want, and my kid, she's only six, she thinks she's a Swiftie. I'm not going to deny her of that, but you know, I just don't want her to fall into idolatry so early, right? So, you know, but she likes Taylor Swift, and I could get away with watching any game I wanted to. I watched the Chiefs play a lot this year just because I watched a lot of football this year. That's kind of the only thing that has that I've been doing in the cold months. And so I you know, like, Lydia would always be like, oh, not another game. Like, well, Taylor Swift's going to be at this one. She's like, okay, I'll watch. You know, and of course, she doesn't watch because she's six. She doesn't really care. But right. I could just say that, and it made her feel better knowing that the person that she admires from a musical standpoint is attending a football game, which is super rad. Very cool.
Does she like her music a lot?
She does. Oh, man. I mean, she listens to Taylor all the time. The reason I'm denying her being a Swiftie is because I don't know she realizes the psychotic weight that has to hold to be, you know, claiming that is what you are. I mean, it seems like it's a life of devotion.
Jesus says, thou shalt not idolize.
Don't idolize, don't covet, and don't root for the Chiefs, baby.
Thou shalt not worship false idols. Thou shalt not be a Swiftie.
There you go. There you go. That's her lesson. But no, I mean, for me, the bowl, like the game, I used to be a Super Bowl only kind of guy. And then over the last 6 years or so, I've been watching football regular season. And then in the last 3 years, I've literally been watching, like, I watched the entire playoffs this year, every single game. Mm-hmm. I watched every Thursday night game, every Sunday night game. And of course, I watched every time my Titans played. We had a horrible year, by the way. Thanks for asking. but I've watched a ton of football the last few years. And what I've kind of realized is, like, I just don't like the vibe of the Super Bowl. Like, it just doesn't feel like you're watching a football game. Like, the commentary seems different. The energy seems different. It doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to be the guy who was like, I was here first, because clearly I wasn't. I'm a Johnny come lately in the football world. But mm-hmm. it is, I'm not, I just mean it from the instance of, like, it just feels, I don't know, like more, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I can't describe it. Like, it just feels more sterile than normal. Like, usually a football game, like even like the commentary in between and the halftime report and all that, just, it feels like so much more is at stake. Where maybe when we're watching the Super Bowl, it's like, well, this is what we arrived to. So we're not talking about what happened throughout the rest of the day or what this team did or what that other team did that makes a difference in this game. It's like, well, it's already happened. We've come to the end, you know, and we're going to, you know, that's all we have to focus on. And it's just kind of like, it's a little sad in a way, I guess.
Well, I wonder if it's kind of like what is happening with, like, movie adaptations of books. So, like, you go, a true fan of the book goes to the movie and they're like, this is really dumbed down, or this is like
something's missing.
And they're like, and it's because they're having to, like, appeal to the lowest common denominator in that adaptation. So, like, maybe because they know that people watching the Super Bowl are not always going to be the people who've been watching everything up to the Super Bowl. You've got a lot of wives there. You got a lot of people like me who didn't watch a single game all year, but want to, you know, feel like they're part of the community watching the football or watching the Super Bowl. So maybe they can't get into the weeds with all that other stuff, or they might lose those people.
Yeah. It does kind of feel like a way, like, as the Super Bowl isn't like the nerdiest version of what you're really into. It's like, you're, like you were saying, it's a more accessible version of it. And so, like, mm-hmm. it does seem just a little bit odd compared to what you've been, you know. It's kind of like having a favorite band, and you know that this band is so good, and they do, and they have this catalog of years and years and years, but then they get signed to that major label and something happens. You're like, they're still good. I'm still going to support them. I'm still here for it, but something's changed. It's a little bit different. It seems like the door is cracked open a little bit wider, and it's not that that's a bad thing, but it certainly changes the essence of it, if that makes sense.
Still sounds like Green Day, but they're singing a lot about, like, conservative, like, anti-America. I don't know if I like it so much anymore.
You know, what happened to Green Day? I have not listened to the new album yet, but that's one of the few bands that I really, like, that made it big, right? That I continue to like for many years. And then the last decade, I've just, like, not been interested.
Well, you know what's funny is I made that joke. I have listened to pretty much everything that Green Day has put out since Dookie. And then I came to them at Dookie.
I did too. I've never heard the two albums prior, which I know some of those songs are on Dookie, but I never had an interest. So, like, Dookie did it for me, where I was like, hey, we'll just start here and I'm going to, you know, we'll move up.
Well, like, there was a progression from their first album to Dookie. I mean, they don't sound completely different, but they definitely sound more evolved, more polished.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then you get American Idiot, you get whatever came out after that one with 21 Guns. I can't remember what the name of that
album was. Oh, the 21st Century Breakdown? Is that
it? Yeah, that one. That one. I've listened to all of those songs, and even though I don't always agree with the message, I can still get into some of the songs and listen to them every now and then. But I heard a song from their newest album on the radio yesterday. I didn't know that they put out a new album or anything. And I just kind of heard like the tail end of it, or I came in towards the middle of it, and I was like, this sounds like Green Day trying to mimic early Green Day.
Yeah.
So
that's a true assessment. Like,
yeah. And it was really weird, because it was like, it sounds like early Green Day, but it's not early Green Day. And yeah. I know that's kind of like a joke. You're like, a lot of people are like, I like Green Day, but early Green Day. But it's true. It's like,
yeah,
I do feel like they were much
Weezer fans are the same way. Like, early Weezer is obviously better than whatever they do from here on out. Like, mm-hmm. they're kind of cursed in a way.
Yeah,
it's weird because, like, I fell off at American Idiot. I think the mm-hmm. song's a banger. I think the album is butt. That's my mm-hmm. opinion. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of people could probably disagree with me. And obviously they will, because that album was massive. That album... Mm-hmm. Literally, it was a revival to their career that had already taken off and made them even bigger. Mm-hmm. It was almost kind of like how far could they go, and that album like skyrocketed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I fell off at that album. Like I gave it as much time as I could, and I just could not get into it. And so from there on out, I've visited things from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
That they've put out, and my threshold is so like it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like a time means something more to me now than it does, but I'm like, mm-hmm. you know, I've always said like there's no time for bad coffee, and so mm-hmm. there's no time for bad punk rock, if that's mm-hmm. if that's a thing. And I live by that. I will not waste my time.
Do you consider them punk rock?
I do. I mean, yeah. I mean, you would be stupid not to. I mean, maybe not necessarily stylistically as much as they used to be, mm-hmm. But this will sound really cheesy, but like punk is kind of more of a mindset anyway. Like there are jazz albums that I like that I feel are very much of the essence of like punk rock, or, you know, something rebellious, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to the style of punk rock, I lean a certain direction. Like I like a certain type of band and a certain type of sound, so I'll be picky within that type of niche. But I mean, like, you know, Green Day's always been a punk rock band, and I think what they've done throughout their career is they've constantly have kept that mindset. I don't think they've ever sold out. Mm-hmm. I just don't think everything they've put out has been enjoyed by everybody, you know.
Yeah, I can remember in college, I really tried to go through like a punk rock phase. not so much like dressing it, but like with the stuff that I was listening to. You know, I bought my first Sex Pistols, what are they called? CDs.
Yeah, compact disc.
Compact disc. I bought one of those. I really tried to get into it just because I was... You know, I grew up on 90s country my whole life. I got into like alternative rock-ish was like the thing that kind of got me out of country. And then when I got into that was in high school. And then when I got into college, I was like, I really want to try and give punk rock a try. And I did. I think I gave it a good go. I could never like dress punk or anything like that just because my family would have disowned me. but I try and listen to some of it now, like the true punk rock stuff, and it almost hurts my ears to listen to. Like, I just can't do, like, I feel like such an old person.
Yeah.
When I listen to punk rock now, and it's just like, it's that really low fidelity, like screaming into the microphone, and just like it sounds almost like they're recording in a garage with like one yeah. microphone. Nothing sounds yeah. great. And I'm just like, I hate it.
Yeah, it's funny because like I grew up with it. I think I got into it when I was like probably 11 or 12. And it was my main source of listening. Like, that was the main genre I listened to. And it was so easy to get into it because all of these bands kind of know each other. You know, you buy an album of a band and they're wearing the t-shirt of a band that you need to go check out. You know what I mean? Or, you know, they went on tour, so they think the band that you hadn't heard of in their liner notes, so you need to go check them out. And it just always kind of stemmed from one place to another. And it felt like, you know, this really cool community. And, you know, going to shows and things like that. I mean, you could just get educated so easily on the subject matter by being involved in it. You know, it, like, there was just so many avenues you could go down. But for someone like me, who's a big vinyl guy and has spent, you know, several thousand dollars on a high fidelity system, it's kind of hard to like throw on like a punk rock record that, you know, I enjoy the music of and it sound like butt on, you know, a hi-fi system. But that's just, it's still something I can't shake. Like, it's just something that is part of like, well, cheesy enough, like my DNA, like that. That's embedded, been embedded to me long before I had a hi-fi system, when I just had a Discman or, you know, a cassette player, like, you know, but I don't love all the music, you know what I mean? Like, I don't love all the genre. And like, even at my old age, there's some of it, like, I just don't care to listen to, but there are some bands and some albums that will just always be in my repertoire. Like, it's not just things I appreciate from afar, but things I still play on a, you know, an average basis, I guess. Yeah. So,
like My Chemical Romance?
No, never. I was thinking about it the other day, though, like what my top five favorite punk albums would be, and I think I've got it. One is going to be Life in General by MXPX. It's my favorite album of all time, but I think it's it's definitely my favorite punk album. Second would be Milo Goes to College by The Descendents. Third would be Damaged by Black Flag. I think fourth would probably go to Green Day Dookie. And then fifth would be, I think I would give it to, crap, I'm drawing a blank because I don't want to replace it with something else. I would say probably NOFX. I would say So Long and Thanks for the Shoes. Those are my favorites.
I knew most of those bands. I was going to see if I could do a top five. I don't think I can. I'm not a huge like album person. I'm more of like a song enjoyer.
Well, but... see, that's for me. I'm an album guy, which is why later Green Day or newer Green Day stuff doesn't sit with me, because it's like I need more than just a song or two. Like, I want to see you guys put together like a, you know, 11, 10 songs, something like that, of like pure art. Yeah. It's like, well done.
So I guess if I had to like on the spot pick five albums that I really enjoy, mine would be Dookie is probably number one. That's like one of the ones that I can without fail, I've got it on CD, I've got it on vinyl, and I've got it digitally. Like, I will just like it, if I need to listen to some music, it's, there's gonna be a song from that album pop up.
Oh, let me quick. I need to retract my NOFX. NOFX is definitely in the top 10, but I forgot Ramones. Ramones Self-Titled is absolutely in my top five. I had to rectify that. That was gonna drive me nuts. The reason I stuttered was because I didn't want to name another MXPX album or another Descendants album, because those are my two favorite punk bands. But I got so off track. I'm like, wait, the Ramones, you idiot. Don't forget them. Like, I'm a massive Ramones fan. Absolutely love the Ramones. All right, so you got Dookie.
Yeah, I've got Dookie.
Dookie's on my list too. 100%. Okay,
so the Metallica Black Album.
Now, here's where I have to be... Mr. Push up my glasses with my finger and correct you maybe, but like, are you just naming top five favorite albums, or are you going certain genre? Because I would definitely not put that in the punk category.
No. I don't have enough for just punk. Mine's got to be albums.
Just okay, because I can redo my list for albums. That's a very different list than what I just named.
I was just trying to join in the fun. Like
we're having fun. This is the episode nobody wanted. We're just having fun. So yeah, your top five favorite albums.
Okay, Metallica Black Album. Is it actually called something else?
It's self-titled. It's just Metallica, Metallica. But everyone, even the band, refers to it as the Black Album.
So I have that one on vinyl, and I hooked
it up
to my...
Dude, that album is so good.
It sounds so good on vinyl.
Dude, that album, that's one of the ones, like, when casual folks come over and they want to see what the record player sounds like, that is definitely one of the albums I play. Just because everyone knows Enter Sandman. Yeah. And when that comes on...
Oh my
god. I mean,
gosh.
The whole damn house shakes. It is
I got
absolutely
wet.
Yeah. Dude, it's well, produced by Bob Rock. Yeah, I mean, he did every big album of the 80s and 90s, from like Motley Crue to Guns N' Roses, obviously Metallica. I mean, that guy knows how to produce a record to like stadium levels. And that's what that one is. It's a stadium rocker.
Yeah, I can remember I bought it. I think I got it at Walmart. It was one of the first albums that I bought, after getting my new, record player, and I have it hooked up to my old surround sound system. So like, I've got like 5.1 speakers all around and a really nice subwoofer. And I put it on, and Enter the Sandman came on, and I was just like sitting in my chair, and I was like, oh my God. I was actually painting my boy's room, and so like I had it playing in my office, and I could hear it all the way down the hall in my boy's room. But for the first couple of songs, I stayed in the office and really enjoyed it, and it's amazing. It's amazing how much better things sound on vinyl.
I agree. I mean, obviously I have to. I've spent way too much of my life trying to find sound nirvana through a sound system, but I agree.
So
to say that though, you got to do it right. Don't think vinyl sounds great because you've got a Crosley, and I'm not knocking it. If that's all you can afford, great, start collecting albums. But if you are wanting to hear the quality of a record, that's not how you do it. And you would it I started that way. I started from like the cheapest thing possible all the way up, you know, over 15 years, and it has been nothing but rewarding moving up the chain.
I also wonder too if it's fun. Like the majority of the time that I enjoy music is through Apple earbuds, and so like hearing something through, you know, nice speakers every once in a while, I'm all of a sudden like, oh my god, this is the only way to experience music.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that. You know, I still have a big CD collection, and a lot of it's punk rock and metal from my childhood, but it's like I've been thinking about getting a CD player to plug into, like, to integrate into my analog setup, because I'm like, maybe these CDs will sound good on my nice speakers and everything. So I'm kind of looking into that. But anyway, continue with your list.
So the next two are from probably my favorite band of all time, Def Leppard.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I would probably choose like a compilation album, but I feel like that's cheating a little bit. So I'm going to go with Hysteria and Pyromania.
Oh, nice.
From Def Leppard. Those two albums have the majority of my favorite songs from them. And I can't really pick a fifth one. I really like Rat, the band, but
oh, yeah.
I don't really have like a favorite album. I just kind of like a lot of their music. That's kind of my vibe of music right now. And it has been for the past couple of years, is like not glam rock by any means, but you know, just kind of those hair metal, trashy metal bands, I guess you could say.
You know, it's funny you say that, because that's never been my thing, especially being like the punk rock guy. And then like, I really liked when grunge hit the scene, because I was just like, and a lot of music critics too will say grunge is what killed hair metal, which it certainly did. When Eddie Van Halen passed, I saw so much outpour of like gratitude towards him, and I was just like, man, what have I missed? Like, and that's one thing I kind of pride myself on, is like, I've always been kind of snobby when it comes to certain things, but one thing I will do is I eventually will come around, or at least give it a fair shot. Doesn't always work out in the favor of the popular majority, but I always try to be like, hey, let me see what this is about. There's something here. That's part of my like wanting to know stuff, is like,
yeah,
clearly this is an important band. And I listened to really all the Eddie Van Halen, David Lee Roth albums. So I didn't know this, but like half of their career was with David Lee Roth as a singer, and then the other half was with Sammy Hagar. And I've not heard any of the Hagar stuff. I'm sure there's probably a song that was on the radio that if I heard back, oh, that's Hagar and Van Halen. But the David Lee Roth stuff, when they first started out, I listened to basically that entire catalog and I was blown away. Like, mm-hmm. I really was just like, wow, this is a fun band. Like, and there'd be people I'd listen to. I watch a lot of YouTube channels, a lot of old people collecting vinyl who just rave about Van Halen. And I hear their stories about how they heard this song on a first date in their car, or they were at the skating rink. And I kind of go back in that time that was like where I was clearly just playing with He-Man toys and shitting myself and not like being like a teenager in the 80s like they were. And I realized like, wow, I get it. I get why this band was so mind-blowing. Like, I get why they made such an impact on you. Yeah. And I was just like, dude. And I went down this rabbit hole of watching all the old music videos, and they are so hilarious. Oh my gosh. Van Halen videos are so funny. Yeah. Because they didn't really take themselves seriously, in the sense of like, they took themselves seriously from a musical standpoint, but they knew they looked ridiculous. Like, David Lee Roth knew that he had like this very, like, almost like threatening, like, feminine vibe to him, where he would just kind of strut around like he's a supermodel. And it's so funny, and he's so good at it. Like, he was a great front man. Like he was just sexy and he knew it, right? Like,
yeah.
And Eddie just smile, like, cheek ear to ear while playing his guitar solos. Like, you just, like, there's so much joy emanating from that guy where you're like, how can you not like this band? I get it. I was a fan. And so that's as far as I've gone down my hair metal or, you know, hair rock journey. But like, Van Halen's pretty great. Yeah. Like, that's my stamp of approval. I dig them.
Yeah. So like, when you're at the gym, what kind of music do you listen to? Or do you listen to music?
I do. When I, like, yeah, on my headphones, I will. I listen to a lot of jazz. I mean, honestly, jazz is probably 85% of what I listen to. But when I'm working out, I'll either listen to something I hadn't heard before, like if I'm trying to check out an artist that I hadn't really listened to much of, or an album I know is going to come out vinyl soon and I want to preview it. I'll usually use the gym as a time to do that. But I do listen to a lot of stuff I grew up on at the gym. So, you know, MXPX, I'll listen to a lot of the Tooth and Nail bands like Frotis, or Living Sacrifice, or Zao, or, you know, metal stuff like that, or just nasty, like, just brutal, like, because I hate my life when I'm working out, so it just makes you feel better.
You're weak, you're pathetic.
Yeah. So, I am that guy will typically will have like some sort of metal or punk rock blaring in his headphones. But I will also be the meme of the guy, you know, I think it's from the movie American Psycho, where you see him walking and he's got his headphones on, he's bopping around, and it's like what I'm actually listening to. And for me, sometimes it's some organ jazz, sometimes it's some vibraphone, sometimes it's, you know, a little Bill Evans trio, something beautiful and soft with some little brush drumstick action, and I'm pumping weights and grunting like the rest of them.
That's funny. That's exactly what I imagined when you said jazz. Because, like, when I think of jazz, I think of, like, coffee shop, almost Charlie Brown-esque. Like,
yeah.
And you're in there, like,
you're like, ah, 15, one more. You know, it's funny. Like, I someone posted this meme a few years ago about jazz, and I really enjoyed it because it was essentially like what people think what I'm listening to when I say I listen to jazz. And he's like, for my parents, when I told them I listen to jazz, they envision like the Glenn Miller orchestra and like swing dancing and like, you know, the jitterbug and things like that. Mm-hmm. Or then when you tell people who are your age or even younger that you listen to jazz, they think it's like the whacked out free jazz that doesn't make any sense, that has no melody or anything that's like enjoyable. And then there's what jazz actually is, and it's the most enjoyable music on the planet. And it's like incredible. And nobody, yeah, it doesn't seem like anyone has that perception of it. They think, oh, you're either an old fuddy-duddy or you're some sort of hipster that likes things that just don't make sense or sound like pure racket.
Okay, I'm going to write something down right now. I want you to tell me one jazz album to check out.
Oh, like, for you?
Yeah. To help me get past whatever my preconceived notion of what jazz might be.
Oh, 100%. I got you. You just tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready. I got my pen.
All right. This is for you. This is for anybody. And here's what I would recommend. My favorite jazz album of all time. So, little precursor of how I got into it. When I've been buying vinyl for like 15 years now. And there were certain albums I would always see on the shelf, but didn't know what they were. And one of them is Miles Davis, Kind of Blue, which I do think is a really great starting point for jazz. It's imagine being in a dark nightclub and you've got like a stiff drink and maybe a cigar and the lights are low. This is the album that you feel like would be playing in that scenario.
Okay, so what's
Kind of Blue
again?
Miles Davis.
Kind of Blue.
The first song, So What, is so moody. Oh my God, it is so good. It will get you toe tapping and bobbing your head so fast. Like it is that sexiness that you think jazz might have. Like that for sure. The second album I bought, and I bought them both at the same time, was John Coltrane's Blue Train. So John Coltrane, Blue Train. That is my
favorite.
I saw you
post about that.
Yeah, that's my favorite jazz album of all time. To me, the reason I like this, it's from a subgenre in jazz called hard bop. The reason I like hard bop was, A, they made a lot of it between 1958 through 63, but it's bluesy jazz. So there's a bit of, like, it's upbeat. It's usually got more of a happy tone to it. It's got kind of a lot of blues notes and like voicing and phrasing in the music. So if you like the blues, then you might like hard bop. It's a very sweet spot, I think, for a lot of people to get into jazz. And that album, both these albums, so here's where they kind of collide, okay? This is the reason why jazz is so fun. People didn't just say, oh, I've got the new Miles Davis record back then. It's like, yeah, they would say that, but everybody's name who played on that record was listed. Why? Because they're all significant people. They all mean something. If it says that, if you buy a Miles Davis record and it says Bill Evans is playing the piano, that means something. Bill Evans is a band leader who has tons of albums on his own with his guys. If it says, you know, like on John Coltrane's album, The Blue Train, Lee Morgan's a trumpeter. Lee Morgan has a massive catalog of hits, of big time records. So it meant something to have everybody listed, because all these individuals, from the drummer to the bass player to the keyboardist, they all mean something. And so when you're getting into it and you're listening to the Miles Davis album that I just named, or the Coltrane album I just named, and you like the drumming, you're like, who is that? Oh, that's Philly Joe Jones. Philly Joe Jones has played on like 100 different albums and he kills at all of them. Like, and you'll find that out over time. Like, it just, it's like I was talking about how you in the punk rock days, oh man, what shirt is that? Oh, he's wearing a Rancid shirt. I'm gonna check out that band. All of a sudden you're like, you know, you're into Rancid, you know, and you didn't know about them, but you follow the breadcrumbs that people leave. Jazz is the same way. So those two albums. Now I'll throw in a third one. And I think this would appease a lot of people. A lot of people don't know this. My wife didn't, and I was shocked. But she caught me listening to the Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack and was like, "This is, why are you listening to Charlie Brown?" I'm like, "This is jazz." She's like, "Oh, it's jazz?" I'm like, "Yes. What did you think it was?" Like, but it's a trio setting.
Yeah. I've got that one.
Yeah.
On vinyl.
That's a great jazz album. The Christmas Charlie Brown album by the Vince Guaraldi Trio. That's great. But I'm going to recommend listening to Bill Evans. Okay. Listen to Bill Evans. My favorite is Portraits of Jazz. That's a good one. Or A Waltz for Debbie. But Bill Evans is a massive pioneer in jazz. And his trios are just legendary.
So when you're saying that, like, they've got big people like on, you know, piano or whatever, do you kind of equate that, because this is my only equation to it, but do you kind of equate that to like when a Jay-Z song or like a Kanye song comes out and then they've got, you know, three different other hip hop artists singing at parts of the song. And it's kind of you may not know who that person is. I can't remember her name, but there was one who I'd never heard of before hearing one of these songs. And I was like, oh, she's really good. And it would have made me go find out more about her music.
Yeah. I mean, for one thing, when jazz came out, I mean, it was it was its own thing, right? Like you're not going to have collaborators from outside music sources come in, you know, mm-hmm. like hip hop's different. Cause like, let's say like Kanye put out a song in the 2000s with Coldplay. Okay. Coldplay mm-hmm. is not hip hop, right? So mm-hmm. it was a big deal to see, you know, Kanye West featuring Coldplay, right? Mm-hmm. In jazz, it's like, we're not going to have someone from the blues community or from the rock community or from the pop community come in and make a record for us. That eventually started happening as time went on and collaboration outside of genres became more acceptable. But with jazz, it was like, this drummer on this album is drumming for the time being with this artist leading the record. So like the Miles Davis record I led, Miles Davis was almost always the name. He usually did not play under people. Like to see, you know, an album that said such and such, you know, and then Miles Davis listed under was not always a thing. Like he was definitely a guy who was almost always curating his work and he was having people play under him. He was really good at putting a band together. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Coltrane. Coltrane started out playing underneath people, but when he got to popularity, then he was able to be band leader on his own and put together his own artists. And that's just kind of how it works. Eventually you kind of like pay your dues. So like, you know, Lee Morgan started off as what they would call a sideman. Well, if people started really enjoying Lee Morgan's phrasing and voicing on his trumpet, then, you know, Blue Note could say, hey, let's put an album where you're the name on the top name on the bill, and then you curate the band underneath you. Who's going to play drums for you? Who's going to play, you know, sax for you? Who's, you know, and so that's kind of the cool thing. So it would be exciting if you were in the ecosystem to look and see an album where you're like, hey, I don't really recognize the band leader, but look who's playing under him. They must really co-sign him to be on that album and be listed. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the same thing in hip hop where it's like, hey, if Kanye's got this guy on a song, then I might be a fan of this guy because right. he wouldn't just let anybody on this, you know, on this track.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, on the next episode, I'll come back with my thoughts. And in turn, if I were to choose one album from My Chemical Romance to change your perception. No. No, I'm just kidding.
let me stop you there. I have listened to My Chemical Romance.
My Chemical Romance did you
listen to? I've listened to Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge, right? Mm-hmm. Is that an album?
Yeah, that's a breakout one.
Yeah, I listened to Black Parade, mm-hmm. and I think that's where I decided no.
And and Black Parade didn't change your life? What?
No, it didn't. That's a whole other thing I can talk about some other time, but it will not be today.
I remember, okay, so I was working at a grocery store when Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge came out, and it was 2004, so we were a year out of high school.
Yeah.
And so I was still working at the grocery store, just started college. That album came out, and I fell in love with the song that was like the big song from that album.
Was it Helena? Was that the song?
That was one of them. But it was I'm Not Okay. That was the breakout song. I'm Not
Okay. Is that on Three That's on Three Cheers? Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So Helena, To the End, not To the End, I'm Not Okay, I think, and The Ghost of You. Those were like the three songs that got music videos, at least, that I can remember. And but then after that album, The Black Parade came out, and I just fell in love with that album.
Wow.
And I mean, I remember making a post on Facebook idiotically at the time. I was like, The Black Parade is my new religion. Nice. You won't tell me otherwise. but no, I it's funny because like I kind of cringe at My Chemical Romance now being an older sure. adult, but I still enjoy some of the songs. And
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
After Black Parade, they came out with a new album that was It was interesting because they started to write a follow-up album to Black Parade that was going to be very much like the Black Parade, and they scrapped it. And they were like, if we're gonna keep going, we got to do something completely different. And what they came out with was this like cyberpunk techno sounding album, and there were some good songs on it, but it was completely different. And I don't know how it was received. I don't know how well it was received because the band disbanded afterwards, and they eventually came back and released the album they originally intended to write, which was the follow-up to Black Parade. And I don't know. I don't really listen to them much anymore, but they definitely changed my life for a little bit there.
Yeah. Well, here, I'm gonna tie a bow on this whole episode nicely, because mm-hmm. you and I went into this not really knowing what we were going to talk about, and we just started shooting from the hip. So let me explain to you of what the Black Parade and even Three Cheers for Revenge felt like to me.
Okay.
So I'm talking about how the Super Bowl just felt a little weird. It felt feels a little too accessible, mm-hmm. right? But it's okay, because it's like, hey, I'm still here for it. I still want to enjoy this. I'm watching the game, obviously, right? That is what My Chemical Romance did to the scene. There was a period of time where we all liked a particular type of music, and let's just blanket term call it emo, mm-hmm. even though emo is a wide term. There's different subsects, kind of like I explained with jazz. You know, jazz, you got well, first off, you can go as far as back as the big band. That's considered jazz. It's not the same, but you know what I'm saying. That's where jazz came from. That they went from a large ensemble to, let's make things more simple, let's go smaller ensemble. I'm getting, you know, I digress, as they say. But when the Black Parade and Three Cheers and even other bands like My Chemical Romance, who were popular at the same time, they kind of came to the party as the Super Bowl. It's like, hey, we've all been here through the season. Like, we've been watching the preseason games. In fact, we've been watching the regular season games all the time. And then now there's this big event, and we're going to make it huge. And all of a sudden, you still need to feel like you're a part of this because you were there from the beginning, but it also feels so different than what you were into. But now it's accessible for everybody. That's kind of, if that makes sense, right? That's kind of how it felt, where it was like, now granted, I'm going to give them props, because I know they didn't start off as like an industry plant. I know they didn't start off as like just big and never knew anything below that. What misconception? Fall Out Boy, right? People love Fall Out Boy. I'm not a big fan, even though I'm going to go see them in concert next month because my wife is. But Fall Out Boy, once upon a time, started off riding in a little van and playing at dives and little bars and little clubs. And they didn't do that very long because they got big real quick, but they still did it. So I'm still always going to have the respect for them and give them their due. but it's like, when, for me, I've always been the product of like, when somebody reaches a certain point of success, I'm like, not really into it anymore. And that's kind of how my feelings towards a lot of the music of that time went, because for once upon a time, you could not find a band t-shirt anywhere except at a concert, and then all of a sudden, it's at the shopping mall next to the Orange Julius and the Cinnabon, and you're like, oh, I guess everybody can just come to this club then.
Name me one AC/DC song.
Right. So that's just me being a turd. Long story short, Cole is a turd.
No, it's funny. One final story, and I know I've probably told this before, but I remember when when we were working on our senior show, we weren't even really that good of friends yet. We were just kind of forming our friendship. And I was like, I know that Cole really likes, you know, like this punk music and everything. I was like, you know what? You should listen to The Used. And you're like, oh yeah, I might give them a try. and then I went and I talked to Brandon. I was like, yeah, I recommended he should listen to The Used and My Chemical Romance. And he's like, dude, Cole hates The Used and My Chemical Romance. I was like, no.
Brandon only knew that because he had to live with me. So
she's like, he said he'd listen to it.
I thought we were the same. We were gonna be such good friends.
We're not the same. We were gonna go to Hot Topic together.
I wish we would have. I think we may have went together once to like shop probably. For stuff.
We went to the mall a lot of times.
You and I were mall rats for a bit. It was a good time.
Yeah, I loved it.
That would be a fun story for another time. Going to the mall. I remember when we started, really the genesis of this podcast, Scary Movie Ice Cream Night, us going to the mall to look for rare horror movie DVDs.
Yeah.
And actually finding a lot of good success.
You know, there are a couple episodes. We did do like a mall episode where we talked about going to the mall and we talked about going to Suncoast, but it's on a way earlier episode, so you can't listen to it anymore. So it might be fun to do another episode like that.
Yeah, so. I've been thinking about the mall a lot lately because I've been watching a lot of 80s television, and you know, the mall always got to show up.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our Super Bowl / music episode. I mean, maybe you just wanted to hear us talk. I don't know. We needed to do this to get back into the groove. So hopefully we can get back to being consistent again. It's the same story every year. You know how we do. We just disappear for a bit and come back and blah, we're here. yeah, it was fun. It felt good. It was good to talk to you, Mike. And I hope everyone enjoys. I hope it was good for you guys. You know,
it was great for me. I need a cigarette. That Blue Cheers wearing off.
Me too, man. I'm glad those ads showed up in my life. All right, we'll talk to you guys next time. See Bye. Ya.
I guess that's long enough. This would have been a good show, too.